When considering intra-group transfers, Section 171 overrides the substantial shareholding regime. Consequently, if you have a no-gain, no-loss transfer of a substantial shareholding between members of a capital gains group, the substantial shareholding regime is not an issue. The asset will transfer at cost plus indexation, giving rise to a no-gain, no-loss disposal. On ultimate disposal of the asset, you are then able to look through group transfers to establish the length of ownership for the 10% test. Now remember, you need the company to own these shares for a 12-month period, beginning with the 2 years before the disposal. Let's consider an example on this point. Here we have a parent company, which owns 100% of A Limited and B Limited. And A Limited and B Limited each have a 5% stake in D Limited. All companies are trading companies, and it will be fair to assume that if A and B Limited were to sell their shares in D Limited, that would qualify for the substantial shareholding exemption, provided, of course, they meet the 12-month test. Let us now assume that after 6 months of A Limited and B Limited acquiring the shares in D Limited, B Limited transfers its 5% holding in D Limited to a newly incorporated company, C Limited. So there we have the shares in D Limited being transferred from B Limited over to C Limited. Now remember, Section 171 overrides the substantial shareholding exemption, so this is a no gain, no loss transfer. The shares have not yet been disposed of outside the group. 7 months after that, Z Limited buys A Limited's and C Limited's 5% holding in D Limited. Here we have the transfer in parent company of A Limited over to Z Limited, and also the shares that C Limited owns in D Limited are transferred to Z Limited. There are two transfers there. The transfer of A Limited to Z Limited will be subject to the substantial shareholding exemption. A holding of 10% or more is held, we assume for more than 12 months, and we assume all other conditions are met. As regards the transfer from C Limited to Z Limited of D Limited shares, that will also fall within the substantial shareholding exemption. Group members own 10%, therefore this will be subject to the substantial shareholding exemption. The 12-month period has been satisfied. C Limited has only owned the shares for 7 months. But you take into account the 6 months before that B Limited owned the shares. So that is 13 months. Let's now move on to the degrouping charge, the Section 179 exit charge. How does this interact with the substantial shareholding regime? This is best demonstrated by way of an example. Here we have P Limited, owning 10% of A Limited and 100% of B Limited. P Limited then decides to transfer A Limited to B Limited. This will be a Section 171 transfer, and let us assume the cost of the shares is £100,000. The indexation allowance is £50,000 up to the date of transfer, and the market value at the date of transfer is £400,000. The deemed acquisition cost in B Limited would be £150,000 under the no gain, no loss provisions. So, after the transfer, B Limited owns 10% of A Limited. Now, within 6 years of the transfer, P Limited decides to sell B Limited. Is there a Section 179 charge of £250,000? That is the difference between the base cost within B and the market value at the date of the intra-group transfer. So that is £400,000 minus £150,000. Ordinarily, there would be a Section 179 charge, but the asset in question, the asset which has given rise to the Section 179 charge, is an asset which qualifies for the substantial shareholding exemption. Therefore, the rules are different. When B Limited leaves the group, it is not deemed to dispose of and reacquire the intra-group asset at the date of the original Section 171 transfer. In this situation, B Limited is deemed to sell and reacquire A Limited the day before P Limited sells B Limited. Let us now assume that the market value of the investment in A Limited when B Limited is sold by P Limited is £700,000. By deeming B Limited to sell A Limited just before B Limited itself is sold, the shareholding exemption will be triggered. Therefore, B Limited will get a base cost uplift to £700,000. So even though the shares in A Limited are now worth £700,000, there is no tax to pay because it is covered by the substantial shareholding exemption. So consequently, not only do you avoid a Section 179 charge, you get the base cost uplifted to the market value just before you leave the group. This should not have any great effect on B Limited, because when B Limited does sell the shares in A Limited, they will hopefully qualify for the substantial shareholding exemption, provided they meet all the other conditions at the date of disposal. Therefore, what the base cost is largely irrelevant, because the ultimate gain will be exempt. But it may transpire that later on, the shares do not qualify for a substantial shareholding exemption. So an uplifted base cost at this point is preferable. Let us now consider share-for-share exchanges. The substantial shareholding exemption generally applies on a share-for-share exchange. So the shareholding exemption would override the rollover provisions that you get on share-for-share exchanges. A starting point is always to determine if the exemption could apply on the assumption that the rollover provisions do not. If the share-for-share exchange qualifies for the substantial shareholding exemption, then the exemption applies, and you have a tax-free uplift to the point of the share-for-share exchange. If it does not apply for some reason, it didn't satisfy the conditions, then the share-for-share rollover provisions prevail. What about intragroup share exchanges, i.e. a share-for-share exchange but within a capital gains group? The problem here is that if rollover relief is disapplied, then Section 171 would apply, because you are in a capital gains group. Now Section 171 overrides the substantial shareholding exemption. Therefore, in intragroup share exchanges, the rollover provisions prevail. On eventual disposal of these substantial shareholdings, the look-through provisions will then apply. So, for your new shares, when considering the length of ownership, you would also take into account the length of ownership of your old shares in trying to establish the 12-month and the previous 24-month test for the substantial shareholding exemption. This concludes this session on the substantial shareholding exemption.